So welcome to the Lizzian Events podcast. I'm Liz Clark and I'm in the driving seat today. And we have a stalwart of the Lizzian Events community here with us today. And I'm talking to Kirsty Wood. Hello, Kirsty.
Hello, Liz. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm very well. Now, we see you at the shows. We're very familiar with your presence at the Lizzian Events Wellbeing shows. But can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you came to be running your business, Ethically Gifted?
Right. Okay. Oh, goodness me. Where shall I start?
At the beginning, perhaps?
At the beginning. Well, I'm an Essex girl. There you go. I was born in Essex. However, we only lived there for a year. Mm-hmm. So we moved around the country quite a bit with my dad's business. So I've lived in Scotland, in England, lived abroad. I'll fast forward, went to Polytechnic, as it was in those days, in Birmingham, studied business studies with German. I've had various jobs in education, private sector, corporate world. And then fast forward to about 11, 12 years ago, I decided to retire from my career in marketing. And I branched out on my own as a marketing consultant. Hit a bit of a bump in the road. One of the companies, or the main company that I was working for at the time as a consultant, went belly up, unfortunately, mm-hmm. and ended up owing me a lot of money. So I very quickly needed to raise some cash. Rightly or wrongly, I'd been relying on that income, had quite a lot of my eggs in one basket. So I got involved with eBay and started selling all sorts of bits and pieces on there. At the same time, met a new friend, and we decided that we were very interested in eco-friendly products and ethical products, and had the idea of starting up a little business. So that was about 2011. I think the business has been about 9 years old this year. So that's how it started. We started with a website. We then moved to a little wooden cabin at a garden centre near me. Didn't last there all that long because the rent was a bit steep and it was a bit restrictive of what we could and couldn't do. Mm-hmm. Then I was approached by another garden centre just up the road from me to see whether we wanted a shop there, which we did. The rent was a lot cheaper. The footfall was a little bit more selective, which was good. And also it was very flexible in that the garden centre team would happily open up the shop and serve our customers if we weren't there, which leads me into events, which has now become the actual biggest part of our business. It's even overtaken our online presence in terms of sales.
Really?
Yeah.
And what events?
Until recently.
Well, we'll come to that. We'll come to that shortly. So when you decided to dip your toe in the water of events, what events did you start with?
Well, initially it was little craft and gift fairs around the area. The lady, or the family that runs the garden centre where we ended up, at the time we moved there, Sally was still working at Bassett Law Hospital as the fundraiser. So she introduced me to a number of little local events, and I had a regular stall at the hospital right from the get-go. I mean, we started at the second garden centre. We when we left there, we'd been there 7.5 years. So we were there quite a long time. So we built up quite a presence in the sort of local area. We went to WI events, ladies' lunches. So all very quite local within South Yorkshire, North Nottinghamshire. And then as we started to go to more and more events, obviously then you pick up contacts for other events and you meet new people, and then as the business starts to grow, which it did, and became more stable, then you dip your toe into bigger events. And then as far as a mind, body, spirit and well-being events go, it was actually a customer that came to the shop about four or five years ago, who suggested that I might like to try having a stall at the Mansfield Mind Body Spirit Show with Eric. And that's how I then got involved on that circuit and met various other people. And it's not actually how I got to know about you guys, which is really strange because you will have been there I was there.
We certainly would.
Yeah, but like you don't walk around at these at other events, and I don't walk around at other events. We're at our stall, and we're there, you know, talking to customers and visitors, and occasionally rush off to the loo when we need to. So that's how I then got onto the mind, body, spirit circuit.
Wonderful. But I find that quite amazing, actually, that about 4 or 5 years ago, you were at the Mansfield shows twice a year, and we were there as well. So I was so close, but we never actually met you until I received an email from you for that for our very first Lincoln Lizzie and Events Lincolnshire Wellbeing Show back in June 2017. And that's when we first actually introduced ourselves to each other and met properly, wasn't it?
Absolutely, yes. And I think correct me if I'm wrong, but I think at that time you'd put an advert on Stall Finder.
That's right. Yes, it was. That's how you found us, yes.
Yeah, because that's one of the ways when I was quite a small up-and-coming business, that's one of the ways I found out about local events to dip my toe in the water, so to speak. So that's how I found you guys, and the rest is history.
Yes, well, you were a very popular stand with the visitors, and very colourful as well, very easily recognisable. And you've got the tag of Rainbow Lady because of the very colourful visual impact that your stand makes. But and that's a lot of that is down to the products that you sell. And you mentioned before that you were very interested in the eco side of things, being eco-friendly and ethically sourcing things, and hence the name Ethically Gifted. And so that really is a major importance to you, isn't it?
Huge, yeah, absolutely huge. I mean, it covers all sorts of product ranges, but I'm very strict on the ethics of a product. And the way I go about checking that out is I don't travel the world. I source from ethical companies and fair trade importers, but I meet these people. So once a year I go to either the spring or the autumn fair. And when I first set up the business, that's what I did. I went there to meet various different suppliers, and you soon get to know by looking into the whites of people's eyes the true passion and the true ethics of somebody and how they do business. So I feel very comfortable now with my main suppliers, and I think it speaks volumes that I've been with them. There are 6 or 7 that continue to supply my business nine years down the line from starting. They include the likes of Shared Earth, which is one of the biggest fair trade import companies in Britain, Tradecraft, which is the original fair trade company in the UK, I also trade with it's called A Short Walk. They're based down in Cornwall. They've been with us for 9 years. They produce products from recycled materials like plant pots, car batteries, packaging. I have an incense supplier. I only sell one brand of incense, and we've been with them for 9 years. So I meet them once a year, have a catch up, see what new products they're bringing on, and then also take the opportunity to maybe seek out one or two new suppliers. But have probably 6, 7, 8 regular suppliers.
Brilliant. So you let your suppliers travel the world and source the products, and they do all the hard work finding all of that, and then you can pick from their selections. But the important thing is, though, that all the products are, as you say, ethically sourced, but also you're helping lots of other people, aren't you, by only buying those types of products? Because all of these companies that you've mentioned and your suppliers, their trade is also helping people in the countries where the goods are produced, aren't they?
Yes, the fair trade suppliers that I work with, I mean, for example, Shared Earth have hundreds of small artisans or family run workshops right across the world. So India, Indonesia, Guatemala, all over the world. And what tends to happen is these suppliers pay their people up front. So there is a regular income for these families, these artisans. But the thing that I love about selling fair trade and ethical products is that there is a story behind every product. There is a real family or a real person or a real community. The other thing that I love, so for example, my incense supplier, it's produced in India, but they have a profit share scheme with all their workers, and a proportion of the profits goes towards buying a bicycle for every worker to get to work. So it's the little stories, the added extras that I love as well, and I think my customers appreciate that, because it brings a product to life rather than it having come from some faceless factory somewhere else in the world. So I absolutely love that, and I hope that passion shows through.
I'm sure it does. It shines through your enthusiasm for your products, and also the returning customers and visitors obviously enjoy it and appreciate the passion that you put into it. Now, you mentioned that you started off selling online initially, and you don't just go to the shows. Now, this must be really important to you at the moment, that you've got an online presence, because obviously at the moment shows are curtailed. So, and how are you finding that?
Right. Well, yes. I mean, it started as online, and the online is now what's keeping the wolf from the door. Online has always, until the last tax year, has always been the main strand of the business, and it was only the last time I did my tax return that I realized that events had taken over, which is quite exciting. But also it means that when something like this happens, when we can't do events, that you start to think, oh crikey, have I put all of my eggs in one basket? But luckily I have a great online presence. I have quite a new-ish website. When we first started the business, we had a website that was built for us, but it very quickly became quite old-fashioned. Things have moved on so quickly. I also rebranded the business a few years ago. We were originally called Relive, the one-stop eco gift shop, which is a bit of a mouthful. but when my business partner left the business, he wanted to concentrate on his sort of day job. I decided that I was going to rebrand and came up with the name Ethically Gifted one evening when I went to bed, and just it suddenly popped into my head, which I was quite pleased with. But yeah, so online at the moment is keeping the wolf from the door. It's good, actually. It's been we had about a week where it died, and I think that was a result of people obviously being very worried and not knowing what the situation was with jobs and finances and stuff like that. But it's rallied in the last week or so, and we're selling huge quantities of bee bombs, which is the little wildflower seed balls that you can scatter in the garden. Huge quantities of vegetable and herb labels that are made from recycled plant pots, and other bits and pieces of gardening products. So that's really good. Really, really grateful that people are still shopping online. And what I'm doing is I've reduced the amount of times that I go out every week to post. Normally I post within 24 hours, and I'm restricting that to 2 trips out now a week to minimise contact with the outside world. So,
but it's great that you're still able to provide that service to people. And it sounds as though with the products that are selling, it's people are taking advantage of this lockdown period and getting out there in the garden and you know, making use of the time in a very constructive manner. So, and the bees, I'm sure, will be very appreciative of all those flowers and plants growing.
Absolutely. And on the subject of the bee bombs that I sell, that's actually a British company that was set up. I think it's been going about a year and a half now. And the bee bombs at this time of year are one of my best-selling products now. I mean, Christmas, it was absolutely amazing with the bee bombs, but they are literally flying out the door at the moment, which is absolutely fantastic. But the fact that it's a British company as well, which is really, really good. So I just love the fact that I can support British companies as well as artisans and families and communities all around the world, which is, it's nice to get that balance, really. So
good. And what advice can you offer to people who are trading on or wanting to establish an online trading platform? What, with all the years that you've been trading online and with the website or eBay, what advice could you give?
Well, that's actually how I started, was using eBay. So if you can use an existing platform like eBay, or if you make your own products, Etsy is another one, or if you're making products that are more high end than not on the high street, I think if you can utilize a channel that's already there that gives you access to hundreds and thousands, if not millions, of potential customers, I think that's a good way to start, because generally these channels have a whole system set up for you, whole marketing system set up for you, product templates. So that would be my advice. If you're brand new to selling online, then that would be my advice, is to look at one of those existing platforms. And of course, Facebook now, you can sell on Facebook, which is another opportunity, through Messenger. There's all sorts of ways. So that would be my initial piece of advice. In terms of my website that I have now, I run it through a company called Shopify, which is one of the leading brands of creating websites. And it's been absolutely excellent. And they're providing additional support at the moment as well, because of the COVID-19 situation. So that's worked really well from my business point of view.
Good. So using an existing platform then, not trying to reinvent the wheel. So that's a good place to start.
Yeah,
very interesting points. Now, I don't know if you've seen Ian's post this morning on Len. I shouldn't say that, should I? Because I know you're a very regular and avid reader. Because he said, you know, that makes it clear that it's important to not just share your own posts, but to share other people's posts and promotions. And that helps using different platforms like the Facebook groups and the facility on Len for the directory and everything, and submissions. It enables people to use that existing platform to help promote the things, but not just sharing their own things. But you really believe that it's important to share other people's posts and promotions as well, isn't it?
Absolutely, definitely. And it's one of the things that I absolutely love about the Lizzie Ann Events community, is not only being part of a community and having all access to all the online services and facilities, such as the group and the page and the directory and the events, obviously, when they're running. The fact that there is so much sharing going on. And I've definitely, I mean, how long have I been with you now? It'd be 3 years, right? 3 years in June.
That's right, yes, coming up for 3 years.
It has definitely had a profound effect on my business and my presence. I mean, if I look at some of the Facebook posts that I put on my Facebook business page, the views that I get, if I compare that to 5, 6, 7 years ago, pre-Lizzie-Anne, the views that I get are just so much more than what they used to be. The number of followers that I have doesn't change hugely over the years, but the views that I get are much more widespread. But I'm definitely a firm believer in sharing other people's posts, because it, I'm trying to think how would I describe it. Let me give you an example of what I'm doing at the moment. So with what the situation that we're in at the moment is as obviously hit everybody hard and hit people in different ways. But from a self-employed business point of view, I'm a sole trader, and I've got a lot of friends who are in that situation as well. And I live in a village where we've got a lot of small businesses that are suffering. So what I decided to do 2 weeks ago was to up my sharing. So at least once a day, I share a post or a bit of information about a business that's local to me. So, for example, I have a friend who runs a fabric stall, and they normally have a stall on Retford Market and Melton Mowbray Market and Doncaster Market. Of course, that's stopped now, and they sell fabric. So I've shared a post about them, and I'm trying to do something every day to help a business local to me, as well as obviously sharing Lizzie-Anne posts as well. So, but it's a nice thing to do for somebody else. But also there is a knock-on effect as well, because if you share for somebody, then they will feel that they want to share for you as well. And I think it has a lovely knock-on effect. The sharing increases exponentially.
It does. It certainly does. And it's really important that you've hit on that point, because your friends who follow you on Facebook, social media and your website, your friends, they already know what you do, but they don't know what other people do. And by you sharing other posts, you're introducing those different products, services, companies to your followers and your friends. And this is how it works, isn't it? Extending the reach, ripples in the pond.
That's the word, extending the reach. That's the word I was looking for. You'll have to excuse me, Liz. I've been digging in the garden all afternoon, in the ethically gifted garden. So, yes, I'm getting a bit sleepy now. I'll have to have a bar of my chocolate.
Ah, chocolate. Now, we've talked about the current situation, and it is early days yet. I mean, we're just nearing the end of the second week of the shutdown. I feel we've got a way to go yet in this. But what suggestions do you have for people to sort of strengthen their fortitude and remain positive throughout this? What suggestions do you have?
Oh, well, if you are lucky enough to have a garden or some form of outside space, then personally I would advise people to get out there as much as you can in your own private space, your own back garden, because nature is a wonderful thing. Fresh air, bit of exercise, even if it's just walking up and down the lawn, for me that would be a big, you know, if you can do it, because it's been a great help for me over the years, not just in this current situation. The other thing I would say is, it's funny actually, I've been thinking about it the last few days, it's really, this situation that we're in has really sort of highlighted what our fundamental needs are as human beings. I mean, you strip everything away, I mean, we need food, we need shelter, we need to talk to people, we need that connection. I mean, for me, I'm missing hugs. So I'm giving myself a hug every day because I'm a very tactile, huggy person. So I hug myself every day. So what else do we need? We need a sense of belonging as well. So I'm trying to, what I do is I try and have a routine every day. My routine is probably completely different to a lot of people, but I have a routine every day. I'm limiting myself to how much of the news I watch. Mm-hmm. So I have a catch up in the morning and a catch up in the evening, and then off it goes off. Oh, what else? Reach out to people. So, you know, most of us have phones. So I'm speaking to my parents every day. I have a walk every day. So I'm taking advantage of the things that the government are allowing us to do.
Yeah, so to look after yourself sort of physically and for that mental well-being as well and that strength.
If you can, eat good food if you can. I've come up with some amazing concoctions in the last few weeks. Well, I was actually self-isolating for 7 days because I think I had the virus. I haven't been tested, but I'm pretty sure I had it. So I had to self-isolate for 7 days, and the cupboards were quite empty. So I did come up with some amazing concoctions, but you just have to do it, don't you? But luckily, I'm back out now.
I think as well, it makes us very resourceful, doesn't it? When you have to take stock of what you have. I mean, when just at the beginning of this 2 week period, we were away for a couple of days, you know, business purposes. Meant we had to travel, and we were away from home. And when we came back, we didn't really know what we were coming back to Nottingham, to the city, to restaurants and everywhere had shut down. We had one day at the market, and then the market was closed. So and that was the time when the shops were just being stripped of everything. So we sort of took stock of the freezer, the fridge, and the cupboards, and realized we weren't going to starve, so there was nothing to worry about there or panic about. But I think not only taking stock of the on the material side of things, I think this time is very useful for us to take stock of where we are in different areas of our lives, isn't it? We can take stock of, like you say, stripped everything back. We're not, a lot of us aren't going out to work. Obviously, there are a lot of people still working, and we applaud them for doing so. But the ones of us that aren't going out to work, we can use this time to take stock and think about where we are, where we want to be, and, you know, what have we let slip? You know, like you said, friendships, communications. It's easy to get caught up in that sort of daily grind, really. And now we're able to just step out of it. We can see what really is important to us.
Yeah, I think it's I suppose every cloud has a silver lining, but certainly that's how I feel about the situation. I also looked at it from a business point of view, because when the lockdown was announced, and then we realized that all my events for the next probably at least 3 months were cancelled. I mean, that there was initially a sense of panic there, and as I'm sure a lot of people found in that situation. But after the initial panic, I'm a great list writer. I mean, I have lists everywhere, lists about lists about lists, but I decided, all right, come on, you know, you've got to think about this. And it's actually made me, so for example, look at my finances and look at where stuff's going out, what is actually coming in, where I can pare down some sort of expenditure, where I'm wasting money, takeaways, that sort of thing, you know. So I think from my point of view, with that, it's been really, really useful, because I had to go through, you know, everything that normally goes out in a month and think, okay, well, what am I allowed not to pay? So, you know, obviously with various holidays, payment holidays that some of us have been given, where can I make savings? And obviously I know hopefully know what's coming in online. It's been quite steady. But yeah, so from that point of view, it's been helpful. But yeah, it's when something like this happens, well, it's the first time something like this has happened, but when something major like this happens, it does hopefully make people stop and think, actually, is that important? You know, what is really truly important? And I think it's what I said before, you know, having a reasonable amount of food, having a roof over your head, and having connections with people. And okay, you can't have physical connection with a lot of people at the moment, but you can get on the phone and have conversations and catch up with people.
That's right. Modern technology. Yeah, we've got a lot of communications and connections.
Lucky. Yeah, but aren't we so lucky to have that? You know, there are parts of the world where they don't have that, or it's gone down. We're so lucky to have that. I mean, I know in some ways it can be the bane of your life, having access to Facebook and this, that and the other. But we are so lucky that we can just pick up the phone and check on our loved ones. So, so lucky.
And I think something to look forward to and something positive to work towards. We've at Lizzie and Events, we've had to cancel two events, the one the Pure Spirit event at the end of May, and yes, the Lincoln Wellbeing Show in June, which is a big event for us and for a lot of our community members and visitors, but obviously they're not going ahead at the moment. Yeah. But what we've done is used the venue that we have booking and a booking slot in July at Newark Showground, and we're turning that into a celebration of well-being.
I'm so excited.
And Ian's written about this already on the Lizzie and Events news, and there will be more about this in it to come. But we feel it's important to give our, not only our community members, but to give our visitors something to look forward to. Do you think that visitors will be keen and eager to come back to the shows?
Oh, absolutely, because yeah, I mean, there won't have been an event this, when was our, we had one in Newark, didn't we? Newark in February. Nottingham early March. So from early March until mid-July, we won't have had an event, and visitors won't have seen us. We won't have seen them for, what, three and a half months. So longer, actually, four months.
This is going to be about 4 months, yeah.
4 months, yeah. So a third of the year. So I think they'll be queuing out the door. And we'll be just, I'm so excited to see everybody. I mean, there'll just be, if we're allowed, just hugs all the time. A big hug fest, definitely. Yeah. I think if we all, and this is something I feel very strongly about, that we all need to follow the rules at the moment. We do need to follow the rules that the government are asking us or instructing us to follow where we can. And the more that we do that, the more likely it is that they will be able to slacken off these rules sooner rather than later. So we need to do that. We need to follow the rules, and then we'll hopefully by my mid-July we'll be out there and free again, and we can have an absolutely fantastic event with lots of hugs.
Well, obviously there'll be more written about that on Lizzie Events News, and we'll be talking about it in future podcasts. But we are going to work with the venue, and we obviously won't do anything that contravenes any local authority or governmental restrictions or advice. Absolutely. And guidelines. But at the moment the venue is saying yes, we can work towards that, so we're putting that plan in action, and I have to say it's given me something exciting to look forward to. And
great stuff
it is, because I heard you talk about lists. I'm absolutely notorious for my lists as
and
as
Ian, clipboards.
Or clipboards. Oh, I've got more than one. I've got a collection of clipboards, and so I've been writing lists, and you know, there's a lot that we can do. I mean, there's a lot of things that we're going to have to sort of put back a little bit now with this, you know, the mm-hmm. Pure Spirit event. The next one of those planned is later in the year, but it gives us time to work towards it. It gives us time to focus and put a lot of effort and time and planning into the forthcoming Lizzie Events Wellbeing shows. So mm-hmm. We're hopefully giving our visitors, you know, something really positive to look forward to. And as we say, we're going to call it a celebration of well-being, because I think everybody will be ready for a celebration.
Oh, absolutely. And let's hope that we have some glorious weather as well. And that would be fantastic, wouldn't it? To have some beautiful weather and a fabulous event and everybody coming together, and we've made it through and we've learned a lot about ourselves and caring for loved ones, and I mean all the wonderful things that are going on at the moment in communities, people volunteering and helping. So it would be great to come together and share that as well, wouldn't it?
It will. All the positivity, all the silver linings.
Yeah, absolutely. There are always silver linings. Always silver linings. It's a very scary time for a lot of people, but there are always silver linings, and there's always something good to be looking at in situations like this. Always is.
And it's a fantastic venue that we'll be at as well. It's the Lady Eastwood Centre at Newark Showground in July.
I absolutely loved that venue, Liz. When we were there in February.
Yes, February. Yes,
February. Yes. absolutely loved that venue. It was just brilliant, and I was under a heater, so I actually felt like I was on a beach in Madagascar. I'd got my Madagascan baskets there, and there was lovely heat coming down. I actually thought, yes, it was just lovely.
It was the first time we'd used that venue, and I have to say that the feedback from visitors was just so supportive and so encouraging as well. Everybody absolutely loved it. The space. I mean, we were practicing social distancing in a way there,
because
we'd actually said that the venue gave us more space, because we felt that you know, and we'd listened to our visitors. They said they wanted a bit more space to move around, and they wanted the stands to be not so close together and things. So, you know, maybe we've set the trend there.
Set the trend. No, well, from a stall holder point of view, from my point of view, I definitely appreciated the extra space. It just, I don't know, it sets everybody's displays, sets them off so much better as well, because I don't like a situation where everything's crammed in, and I think it can be quite confusing to the eye if you're walking around. So if you've got space in between, it's a bit like how I grow in my garden. There's always space between things.
I think the visitors as well, it enables all the stands to be more visible to them.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Like I said, it's not confusing to the eye. If you have space between, then it's almost like a frame. So the space frames your own stall, and the visitor can take that in and then move on to the next, and not overlapping is great. It's much more simple and less confusing to the eye. So it's much, much better to have more space. Yeah. And privacy as well. We're obviously with a lot of the therapists, they like a little bit more space because it's absolutely added privacy. Yeah. Yeah.
So there we go. We've got something to look forward to. We've got positivity to get us through the next weeks, you know, the coming weeks and the time between now and the show in July. And we can always keep in touch through Lizzie Events News. And Kirsty, you're on Facebook and social media as Ethically Gifted, aren't you? You're visibly there.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes, I am. Yes. Haven't quite got on to Twitter yet.
Well, it's one of those things, but I think you do enough on Facebook and the listening events news and the sharing there as well. So we'll let you off that one.
Thank you.
But I'll leave the listeners there. Thank you for joining us, and there'll be more listening events podcasts. They're all available on the website to download and listen to whenever you want to. And so Kirsty Wood, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Liz. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. And thank you for listening. And we'll see you next time.